Man, thank you guys so much for being here today. We're going to get to start our series, Mo Money, Mo Problems, today. I'm stoked about that. I want to encourage you guys, talk back to me, okay? Give me some feedback. Man, the crowd last night was terrible. I got no response. I mean, I was really, really working it. I mean, I was giving it everything I could, and it was like there was no one here. I just shouted and I shouted and it was crazy. Thankfully, though, don't worry, the camera gave its life to Jesus. And we took up an offering and the chairs ended up raising like $100. So we're gonna send that to missions. We got it all set up. So it was a good night. That's funny, right? That's a joke. That's good. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Man, we are starting this series, Mo Money, Mo Problems. And for some of you, that immediately struck a chord. I was talking to a lady outside today who's like, you know, you could just tell she's my generation. She's like, I know that song. Some of you guys are like, never heard of it, okay? But this song, Mo Money, Mo Problems, I guess I kind of grew up with it. In my generation, we remember hearing this song because it was released by a guy named Notorious B.I.G. in 1997, okay? And this song is kind of like called, in different circles, they say, like in Rolling Stone, I think, said this, and another one, they said, it's quite possibly the most popular hip-hop song of all time. It became super huge. It had so much play, more money, more problems. Well, it all started with this young boy named Christopher Wallace. And he was born in Brooklyn, New York, and he was born to a kind of messed up family, to be honest with you. Dad had left. Mom had two jobs trying to pay for him, take care of him. By 12 years old, Christopher Wallace was selling drugs to make ends meet for his family. 12 years old. Any 12-year-olds out there? Just walk in here, 13, yep. Already selling drugs at that time of their life to try to make ends meet. 17, dropped out of school. 19, already arrested for weapons and drugs charges, put into prison. Came out of prison. He was really, really good at rapping. And he ended up bumping into Sean Puffy Combs, Puff Daddy. Some of you guys remember Puff Daddy, right? Okay, good. Just making sure. All right. He met him. They started rapping together. He rapped on a couple songs for some other artists. After a little bit, he released his first album. And in 1994, he released this album, and it went quadruple platinum. His first album. It was huge. People talked about this Notorious B.I.G. and how they literally called him. They called him the savior of rap on the East Coast. Because before that, everything was all West Coast rap. You had Tupac Shakur. You had all this Southern California stuff. And no one on the East Coast was really standing out. And all of a sudden, this guy, Notorious B.I.G., came out. And people said, man, he was the king. They literally put him on the cover of magazines and said, the king of New York. Some people still call him the best rapper of all time. Man, 1994, good times. A few years later, after tasting all this success, man went from, it's a rags to riches story, right? I mean, broken home, nothing, all the way to the place where, I mean, he had money, and he had women, he had lots of fun, all this different stuff. He was interviewed, and they asked him in this interview, you know, Biggie, what do you think about all this success? What do you think about gaining all of this? And his quote is rather interesting. He said this to the interviewer. It's like the more money you make, the more problems you get. The more money you make, the more problems you get. Just a couple years later in 1997, pulling out of a nightclub, someone pulled up next to him and shot him to death in his car. 24 years old. You want to talk about a meteoric rise from nothing to something and then over. Cut short. Done. People still sometimes call him the best rapper ever. Maybe it's because of the fact that his life was cut short. Now, why am I telling you this? Is it because I believe that you guys have a deficit knowledge of 90s rap? Yes, that's part of it. All of you guys need to go back and listen to some 90s rap because that's some good stuff, okay? That's back in the day before it got all gangster and now it's all weird. This is just like money and fun. And this is good stuff back then. That's kind of what I grew up with all this stuff, okay? Puff Daddy, Mace, Notorious B.I.G., all this stuff as well. But it's not just that. Here's why. And money is always on our minds and on our lips in our society, isn't it? Everywhere we go, we see things about money, talking about and getting more money and having money. And it's always on our minds as well. It's so much ingrained in our society. There's get-rich schemes. There's multi-level marketing. There's all these different things that say, would you like to stay at home and work 4 hours a week from your computer and make $100,000 a year? And everyone goes, yeah, I want that job, right? That exists? Yes, right? There's always this conversation about money. And man, then on top of all that, man, the whole society as far as selling you on stuff. I don't know of you, but if you look through marketing, all marketing is about is saying that you need something to fix where you're currently at. It's just story after story of people having fun, man, having a good time. You ever notice those people, they open cans of beer or soda like a whole different way than normal humans do, don't they? They're like, they open it and they're all smiling, it sprays, everyone's laughing, having a good time. There's just these then commercial after commercial, sale after sale telling you, if you buy this, if you get this, it will fix your problems. You will be happy like them. You will be satisfied like them. Man, our whole society is just kind of in this picture of the fact that more equals better. If you have more money, life is better. If you can buy more of these things, life is going to be better. Man, more is better, more is better, more is better. It's just spoken to us, preached to us every single day. I have to admit, I find myself feeling that way too. Sometimes I think, you know, if I had more, I could buy these things and that would be making me really, really happy to have some of those things. I could buy that thing or I could buy this thing. Or maybe for me, it's if I had a little bit more, maybe I wouldn't worry so much about those bills at the end of the month, right? If I just had a little more, those wouldn't seem so heavy. They wouldn't seem like such a big deal. I can tell you that all of us are in the same boat. All of us are in the same boat. Here's how I'll get you, okay? Watch this, okay? I can tell you how much you want to make at your current job. All of you, right now. I can tell you. I can get it right. I can guess it, and I'm going to get it right. You ready? You want to make at your job more. How many people did I just get it right? Raise those hands. How many people? Yes, you're right. I want to make more at the job that I currently work. You're correct. Yes, all of us have this mindset. If I could just make a little bit more, all of us have that feeling. For most of us, we think maybe some of you guys, you're the ones that if I had more, man, I could buy some more happiness in my life, some more enjoyment, right? Maybe it's, you know, getting to buy those new clothes, getting to buy those new things for your house, upgrade your living, man, buy that nicer car. Some of you gunnies out there, you got a list of guns you want to buy, don't you? Girls, you guys don't understand. If your guy shoots guns, they have a list of 10 guns in their head right now of what the next 10 purchases would be. It's always rotating in there. If I want this one, then this one, then this one, right? It could be anything. It could be electronics. Maybe you're really, really into all these different things, and you have this thought, if I could, man, get some more money, I could have some of these things that'd make me happier. Maybe you're not the thing person, but maybe for you the happiness involves going and doing stuff. You're the experience person, right? If I had more money, I could go to these shows. I could go to these concerts. Man, I could go and experience this. Man, I could go to this event. I could go eat at this fine restaurant. Man, more money would mean more fun in regards to that. Maybe for you it's not about happiness or enjoyment. Maybe for you, the idea of more money and why that's always in the back of your head, if I could just get more, for you, it's all about peace. And you think, if I had more money, I would have less stress. The bills wouldn't seem so heavy. The worries wouldn't seem, man, so extreme. I wouldn't be worried about that payment I have for my car, or that payment I have at the end of the month, or whatever, those medical bills or whatever I might be trying to pay off. I wouldn't be so worried if I just had more. I'd have peace. I wouldn't be so concerned always. Or maybe for you, kind of in the same vein, but maybe a little bit different. For you, money is all about protection. And for you, you think, if I had enough money, I could insulate myself from the bad things that happen in this world. Maybe you've been one of the people who really kind of had a hard time, where you've been hit time and time again, and you think, if I had more money, I'd have that cushion. Kids get sick, I'm not worried. Car breaks down, I'm not worried. Something goes wrong, I'm not worried, because I have a cushion between me and that outside world. Some of us are thinking that way about money. If I could just get more, I would have protection from the surroundings, the bad things that happen to normal people. Now, we might not preach it like our culture does. We may not talk about it every day. But almost all of us, if we actually think about it on a practical level, We might not preach it to somebody, but on a practical level, what we do with our lives, we all believe more is better. More is better. If we can have a few more dollars, man, if we can have a few more things, if we can have a few more experiences, if we can buy through this, that we would be better off. I know it's true because when I just said that, all of you guys smiled when I talked about you guys getting paid more at work. If you went into work tomorrow and they said, "We really, really appreciate you, we're going to double your pay," I'm guessing none of you would be disappointed with your day, would you? All of you would be whistling while you work, smiling, being like, "Yes, it's a great day. I don't mind about those customers. I don't mind that trouble. Don't worry. Hey, I need you to take care of this. I'll be right on it. Don't even mind." Yes. If you were getting paid double, we all believe this deep down inside of our minds and our hearts. More is better. More is better. If I could get more, if I could have more. Now, here's the problem, though. We have to reconcile someone like Notorious B.I.G. In all reality, he came from a place lower than almost all of us. My guess is not many of us came from a place lower than what he came from. Man, a place of a broken home, selling drugs by 12 just to be able to get enough food on the table to survive. And then he rose to a place that most of us will never rise to. He came from lower than we started, and my guess is he's risen to higher than any of us in this room and maybe any of us will ever really achieve. Man, world success, tons of people idolizing him, lots and lots of money through these record sales, tons and tons right away. Yet, when asked about this transition from having nothing to having almost everything, he says, "It's like the more money you get, the more problems you have." Now, how do we reconcile that with what we're currently feeling about our finances? How do we reconcile a person who came from lower than we are, rose to higher than we are, that whole dream that we might have in our mind of being able to accomplish, he's walked it out and he says it's not all that it cracked up to be. You'd be surprised when you get there, maybe a little disappointed. Has anyone ever bought something thinking it was going to be great and then you start using it and feel extremely disappointed and you're like, it did not live up to the hype? That's kind of what he's saying, right? He's saying, you know, it's funny, but it's like the more money I get, the more problems I have. Maybe we can crack it up to the fact that we're just, you know, if I was in his position, I wouldn't feel that way. Maybe he had a problem. He was depressed. He just didn't know how to spend money. I'm good at spending money, right? I would have a good time. We have to take it into consideration, though. Maybe he experienced exactly what we're dreaming of, exactly what we're imagining. And it's not everything that you would believe. You know what's interesting is if we look in God's Word, reading through it, we run into a guy who reminds me so much of, man, Notorious B.I.G. We run into this guy who is, I mean, crazy successful and wealthy. Insanely successful and wealthy. Remember we just did that whole series I talked about, How to Wreck Your Life in 21 Days? That whole story of that man named David, right, who came through? Well, he had a son. His son's name was Solomon. And Solomon kind of rode on the heels of his dad. His dad set up this great empire, and Solomon took over. And Solomon took it from successful to mega successful. I mean, he took kind of the family business that was handed to him, and he doubled, quadrupled. Man, he multiplied it 1,000 times over into the great riches that you can't even imagine. Check this out. This is 1 Kings 10:23-27, talking about King Solomon. It says, "So King Solomon came richer and wiser than any other king on earth. People from every nation came to consult him and to hear the wisdom God had given him. Year after year, everyone who visited him brought him gifts of silver and gold, clothing, weapons, spices, horses, and mules. Solomon built up a huge force of chariots and horses. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horses. He stationed some of them in the chariot cities and some near him in Jerusalem. The king made silver as plentiful in Jerusalem as stone. And valuable cedar timber was as common as the sycamore fig trees that grow in the foothills of Judah." They said Solomon took this family business and he brought it to a whole different level. Solomon became so well known and so famous that people would just pour riches out into his palace. They would come and just drop off, man, silver and gold and exotic spices, everything you can imagine, the richest you can possibly think of. Whatever your thing is, right? He experienced. Are you the fashionista? Man, would you love to have just an endless, man, budget for clothes and shoes and new things? He experienced all of it. They said they brought him these fine clothes, everyone from around the world, the best things were brought and dropped off for him. For you, are you the person who, man, it's all about your house? I love to make my house look perfect. I love to have a great place. Solomon had a house that could not be beat. Check this out. In the previous verses right before this, Solomon built the temple of God. He hired 80,000 men to build this. 80,000 men. That's a workforce, right? It took 7 years to build the temple of God. Then he said, now I'm going to build my house. His house took 13 years to build. His house was twice as grand as the temple of God in the city. This man had everything beyond the fact that he had these amazing houses that were just, I mean, blow your mind, right? Covered in gold. He had private gardens. It said that he had private zoos. Yes, private zoos. If you're an animal lover out there and you're like, I want a panda, he had one. I guarantee you. I want a giraffe. He had one. He had all these people bring in these animals from all over the world, and no one got to see them except for him. His, to go and walk through and experience. You're the person who wants to experience great things, see great shows, man, have great experiences. It said that Solomon got the most talented performers all around the world to come in and perform for him. The best shows, the best singers, the best performers right there in my living room performing for me. And he had everything. It says that they brought him fine spices. Man, are you a cook? The best spices around the world dropped off in plenty. Man, the most flavorful meals. My guess is he had great cooks and he had every experience, every taste you could possibly imagine in his mouth. It said he brought weapons, gunnies out there like me, right? Every weapon you can imagine. Every year they drop off more of these awesome, oh, and this is from this area, and this is, every time there's a new weapon that come out, he would get it. Man, car lovers out there, what do you think a chariot was back in the day? That's a car. He had 1,400 of them. If he rode in a different one every day, it would take 4 years for him to ride in all his chariots. Some of you car lovers out there, right? You're like, whoa, right? Talk about a private collection. If you're a car lover as well, he had 12,000 horsepower. Yeah, top that. 12,000 horsepower. That's what it says. Not only that, but he had everybody to fulfill every need he ever wanted. Waiters, butlers, people who personally came. There's records outside of the Bible that he hired the best silver and goldsmiths from around the world, and other texts saying that these great silver and goldsmiths from over in the Middle East, they said that they were hired by Solomon privately to make whatever he wanted. On top of that, the man had 300 wives and 700 concubines. 1,000 women that he housed. 1,000 women that my guest fulfilled every different desire he could possibly imagine as a man, right? That he would just, whatever he wanted, he would take because he was unstoppable. More money than anybody had ever seen, more power than anyone had ever seen. Not only the richest man on earth, but the most powerful man on earth. If I want to do something, it's not legal. I change the law and I do it. Nothing stood in Solomon's way. He had everything. Check this out. I looked up and I found a guy online who does business insider work, and he talks about these super rich mega millionaires and billionaires. And he was comparing riches throughout history that have been well documented. And he said, Solomon stands above everybody in regards to wealth. He said, if Solomon was in our present time, his riches would equal $2 trillion. That's how rich this man was. People are insanely rich when they're billionaires. Like insanely, not even, you can't even comprehend how much money. Trillionaire. It's never existed in our modern time. They said more money than you could possibly ever imagine. I mean, this guy knew what's up. There's ballers and then there's like mega ballers, right? Notorious B.I.G. could not hang with Solomon. He would show up and be like, no, I'm out. Tap out, right? Can't keep up with him. Now, here's what's interesting. I say all that to say that at the end of Solomon's life, He put together a book called Ecclesiastes, talking about all his life experience. And he gets to a place where he says, let me tell you about money. And this is Solomon's words, Ecclesiastes 5, 10 through 15. He says, those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. The more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. So what good is wealth except perhaps to watch it slip through your fingers? People who work hard sleep well, whether they eat little or much, but the rich seldom get a good night's sleep. There's another serious problem I've seen under the sun. Hoarding riches harms the saver. Money is put into risky investments that turn sour, and everything is lost. In the end, there's nothing left to pass on to one's children. We all come to the end of our lives as naked and empty-handed as on the day we were born. We can't take our riches with us. As we listen to the richest man in history, the richest man that my guess would ever have lived on this earth, he talks about his life and he says, money doesn't equal happiness. He says, it's really useless when it all comes down to it. I mean, wouldn't you expect that when he got to the money chapter in Ecclesiastes where he's talking about his life, it would just be like 3 pages of laughter? Right? Just like, ha, 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 ha. Just pages of just laughing, right? He tried to dictate, and they're like, what do you say about money? And he's just laughing. That his theme song would literally be that Lego movie, right? Everything is awesome, right? Just on loop in his mind all day. Everything is awesome. I have more money than anybody could want. Yet Solomon confirms the same thing that Notorious B.I.G. said. And here's what it is. I'm going to say it really simply, because I want you to hear it, I want you to get it. And you're going to say, Cameron, that's not deep. That's nothing that, you know, out of this world. I could have thought of that, and then you could. I want it to be plain and simple, and I just want you to carry this away. Solomon and Notorious B.I.G. say this, more does not equal better. More does not equal better. Cameron, that's not that wide. I know. It's simple. More does not equal better, but that's what you need to hear. Something so simple that it could maybe get caught in your minds. In fact, let's say it together, okay? Let's all of us say it together. I need all of you to join with me, okay? 3, 2, 1. More does not equal better. One more time. More does not equal better. Now, here's the deal. You just said that, but you don't believe it. You don't believe it because there's years and years of programming of telling you that more is going to equal better. Yeah, but I know I said that, but if I just had a little more. Let's take a look real quick at Solomon's words of wisdom, okay? Because I believe there's something here that Notorious B.I.G. was saying that he was saying. That although all of us still believe this idea that more equals better, he's saying, let me tell you, it's not true. More does not equal better. I think Solomon points out three things in this. Three things I want you to grab today, walk away with. You don't have to remember them exactly, but let me just try to share this wisdom with you, okay? So first and foremost, Solomon says this. The problem with more is never enough. More is never enough. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 10 and 11. It says, those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. The more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. So what good is wealth except perhaps to watch it slip through your fingers? You know, what's funny is at the beginning when I said all of us wanted more and all of us raised our hands, right? Yes, I would like to get paid more for what I do. The funny thing about that is that there are people in this church who make only about $20,000 a year, and there are people in this church that make almost $100,000 a year. And all of you raised your hand and said, yes, I want more. You see, what's funny is there's somebody who has your more, and they still want more. You the $30,000 person, right? You think, man, if I could just have 50 grand a year. There's somebody sitting next to you who makes 50 grand a year who thinks, if I could just have 70 grand a year. Somebody else has the more you're dreaming of, and they say it's not enough. And you have this tendency to think, yeah, but that's their problem. If I had that more, I would be satisfied. There's somebody saying the exact same thing about you right now. Somebody two notches below you who are looking at you and saying, if I had what you had, I would be set. I wouldn't need more. Now, how funny is that, right? We see that more can't possibly work because all of us just said we want more. We didn't have some sort of magical cutoff of people who just like, no, I'm good. I've got too much money. I don't know what to do with it, in fact. I have to add on to my house. My closets are all full. I need another closet to stack my money in. I don't know what to do. So I tell people when I was working on my house, people said, you working on something? I said, yeah. I said, I got to make more closet spaces. Stack piles of money. Don't know what to do with it, you know? The problem is more is never enough. There's this man named John Rockefeller, John D. Rockefeller. Some of you guys who studied history know about him. This is the guy who created Standard Oil, and in the late 1800s, this man became the most wealthy man in current history. He was the very first billionaire back in the late 1800s. If you compare his wealth to today, they say that most likely he would be worth $375 billion. Just for reference, the richest man on earth that we can usually think of, Bill Gates, at the height of his wealth, was half of that. Half of that. He could take and buy two Bill Gates, be like, I'm just going to pay for everything, take everything, it's yours. Right? Twice as rich. In an interview with John Rockefeller one time, a reporter asked him, John, how much money's enough? Because this man just grew this empire, and they're thinking, man, you have so much money, so much more than anyone could imagine. How much money is enough? And John's response kind of shocked and amazed everybody. He said, just a little more. Just a little more. The man is worth $375 billion, and when asked how much money is enough, just a little more. You see, more is never enough. It's never enough. There's always more to be had. It never satisfies. You buy and buy and buy. No one ever gets to the place where they just say, oh, I'm good, I'm done. It just keeps going. It keeps growing. More is never enough. Second, Ecclesiastes and Solomon's word of wisdom, he says this, the problem with more is more accentuates the good and the bad. You see, more accentuates the good and the bad in life. Ecclesiastes 5:12, he says, people who work hard sleep well, whether they eat little or much, but the rich seldom get a good night's sleep. You see, wealth, man, more money, it accentuates the good, right? We're not going to take a trip. We're going to take a trip. We're not going to go to dinner, man. We're really going to go to dinner. It accentuates all those good. But the problem is Solomon says it also accentuates the bad. He says, you know those feelings of loneliness or those feelings of worry that you have, that longing for peace? He says, all of a sudden, the more money you get, it doesn't increase the level of peace. It decreases the level of peace. You have more to worry about, more to think about. He said, seldom do those rich people get a good night's sleep. They can't rest because they're always worried about what's going to happen next. There's this man named Marcus Persson. If you're a hardcore gamer, you might know who he is. He's known as Notch. He was the man who created a game called Minecraft. A lot of people have played Minecraft. A coder who created a simple game that grew into an empire, a phenomenon that no one saw coming, which he sold to Microsoft for $2.5 billion. $1 billion. He went from being a coder, somebody who just sat in his basement working on computers, to being worth over $1 billion. He went from being just a guy who played video games to outbidding, yes, outbidding Jay-Z and Beyonce for a $70 million house. They lost the bid to him, and he took the house they wanted. How hilarious is that? How hilarious is that? He outbid Jay-Z. There's probably a song going to be written about it. Man. It's interesting because Notch took to Twitter after making all this money. And people said his Twitter feed shocked people. Here's a couple of his tweets. He says, the problem with getting everything is you run out of reasons to keep on trying. Tweets again, hanging out in Ibiza with a bunch of friends and partying with famous people, able to do whatever I want, and I've never felt more isolated. Tweets in Sweden, I'll sit around and wait for my friends with jobs and families to have time to do stuff, watching my reflection in the monitor. He says, when we sold the company, the biggest effort went into making sure that the employees got taken care of. And they all hate me now. People were shocked by watching the Twitter feed of a man who had just won the lottery in most people's minds. And it accentuated the good. I'm here in Ibiza. I'm there. I'm hanging out with the most famous people. I outbid Jay-Z and Beyonce for a house. He sits down, and when he actually just tweets, man, out of his heart and his head, it's the same sadness that was always there. It's just accentuated now because he can have anything and it still hasn't solved the problem in here. He feels it deeper than he ever has before. Like I said, like Solomon said, rarely do these rich people get a good night's sleep. See, more accentuates both the good and the bad. Last, he says this. Solomon gives us the word of wisdom, saying one of the problems with more is that more of what you want can mean less of what you need. More of what you want, more of what you want can mean less of what you actually need. Listen to what he said in Ecclesiastes 5, 13 through 15. He says, there's another serious problem I've seen under the sun. Hoarding riches harms the saver. Money's put into risky investments that turn sour, and everything is lost. In the end, there's nothing left to pass on to one's children. We all come to the end of our lives as naked and empty-handed as on the day we were born. We can't take our riches with us. See, what most of us, we were talking about at the beginning, we want that insulation, right? He says, the problem is, he says, money, man, you think money would be the healthiest thing that ever comes to you, but he says, actually, it harms you. That more you get, the more things you want that you just keep focusing on that, the problem is it can take your eyes off of what really matters. You see, the more we get what we want, the less we might focus on what we truly need. All of a sudden, those things that are supposed to make our lives better become more important than the lives that are supposed to be made better. The problem with more is it can shift our focus onto what's secondary. And he says, you know the real problem with it? Is you think it would bring some sort of comfort, but when you get more and more and more, you just have this reality in the back of your mind that someday, though, I share the same fate as the poorest beggar on the street. Listen to me. Every person on earth will die poor. Every person on earth will die poor and step into the afterlife without a penny in their pockets. Every one of us. No matter how little or how much we make, we die poor and we walk into the afterlife with nothing. Nothing comes with us. See, the problem with searching for these things for more and more and more and more and more can be that it takes our eyes off the things we really need. Security, true security in where our minds are headed and where our lives are headed and where our souls are headed. Logan Pearsall Smith. He was a British essayist in the early 1900s. He said it like this, and I think it's perfect. He says, those who set out to serve both God and money soon discover that there is no God. Let me read that again. He says, those who set out to serve both God and money, they soon discover that there is no God. You see, the problem is more can become the focus. It can take our eyes off of what really matters in our lives. It's all about more, it's all about more, and all of a sudden there's nothing left. We leave this life naked and empty-handed, without preparation for the next life that comes beyond this one, because we were so focused on more. I think it's interesting, thousands of years later, another man who's seeking after God, just like Solomon was, a man named Paul, is writing to one of his young mentors, and he says it like this. Listen if it doesn't sound strikingly similar. 1 Timothy 6:6-10. He says, yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. You see, more of what we want can end up giving us less of what we truly need. And Solomon and Notorious B.I.G., trying to give us a word of caution, more does not equal better. But what do you really believe about money? I mean, if you're honest with yourself, what do you really believe? Is money for you? Is more for you? Is it about the fact that you want to grow in happiness? Is it about the fact that you want to grow in peace? Is it about the fact that you want protection from the world around you? And money seems like a good way to do that. Getting more would fix these problems. I have to warn you and tell you that two men throughout history, one thousands of years ago, who was the richest we've ever met, one who came from lower than you, rose to higher than you only a couple decades ago, said it won't satisfy. I know you feel that in the back of your mind, but I've experienced it, and you're going to be disappointed when you get there. More does not equal better. That's what they're trying to say to us. From beyond the grave, more does not equal better. Let's say it together one more time. One, two, three. More does not equal better. You need to decide what you believe on money. Because the world is preaching to you, okay? Day in and day out, more is better, more is better, more is better. Those terms are interchangeable in our society. And you have to decide whether or not you're going to follow that or whether or not you're going to decide, I refuse to believe the myth of more. I refuse to believe the myth of more. More does not equal better. You see, the answer was actually right there all along. More does not equal better. I believe that God wants to bless your finances. I believe that God wants to bless your money, but he's not going to do it through more. He's going to do it through better. You see, it was right there the whole time. More doesn't equal better. And I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with wanting better for our money, wanting better for our finances. But the answer probably isn't going to be found in more, because more doesn't equal better. In fact, if you got more without getting better, that more would accomplish nothing. If you get better, you might get more, and it'll still be better. But if we don't get better, the more isn't going to do anything. You'll keep on getting more and more and more, and you'll die just as dissatisfied as you were when you started working at age 18. More doesn't equal better. In these next 2 weeks, we're going to take a look at better. Isn't it funny we just did this series? We're on the track of better. I believe God must be doing something inside of our church, that he has us talking about better and better, that he wants something greater for us. Maybe it's that a lot of us really don't believe that God would want anything better for our lives, and I'm telling you, that's a lie, and the truth is God wants better for your life. He's speaking it to this church. Is there anybody, let's get some action here, is there anybody who would like God to make their finances better in these next 2 weeks? Anybody? I believe that God wants to make our finances better, and there's nothing wrong with saying that. There's nothing wrong with praying that. There's nothing wrong with wanting that. But I'm telling you, you got to get it out of your head, because what you're going to be tempted to think is that means God's going to give me more, and that's wrong. God's going to show you better, and if you can handle better, maybe you'll get more. But we got to get better first, not more first. It will harm us. Ecclesiastes, the more brings harm to the person who has it. In Proverbs, it says this. Proverbs 8:10 says, choose my instruction rather than silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold. In verse 19, it says, my gifts are better than gold, even the purest gold. My wages are better than sterling silver. I believe that God wants to give us better in these next weeks. I believe that God wants to speak into our finances. He wants to take us somewhere that we haven't been before. I believe that God wants to show us the true secrets of happiness, the true secrets of peace, the true secrets of protection that come from him. Not from more, but from better. So if you're with me, you need to be here in these next 2 weeks. I promise you that I will pour over these scriptures if you promise me you'll be here. I'll pour over these, and I'm begging God to give us true wisdom if you'll be here to hear it. And I'm telling you, what if we could start 2016 better? What if we could walk into 2016 saying, I might not have more, but my finances are better than they have ever been. I'm telling you that God wants to work through your finances. It's not a separate area of your life from all your spirituality. It is one big old piece that all of our faith is together. Our finances, our faith, our love, our joy, our patience, our relationships, all of it is one piece, and God wants to speak into our finances and bring us better. If you want better in these next 2 weeks, give me a shout. All right. Let's do this together, church. God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you, Jesus, for what it is that you're speaking to us. I ask, God, that in these next 2 weeks, you would reveal wisdom to us that would bring us better in our finances, God. Lord, that all of us want your wisdom. We believe that it isn't just about getting more, that we've seen people who've spoken from beyond the grave to tell us the answer is not more. That does not equal better. So God, we're asking you in these next weeks, would you show us better? Would you show us better so that we can walk it out so that we find that peace, we find that joy that we've never had before, and that we honor you in our finances as well. We thank you so much, God, for what you're going to do. And we come to this place, Lord, expecting to hear your wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. Have a great week. You were so much better than that Saturday night crowd. Thank you very much.